Always a joy and a privilege to be gathered here with you as we focus our time and we draw our attention on our amazing God together. You know, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been going through this current sermon series we've entitled Loving Uniontown, where we're called to how we understand that love, that call we have to carry the love of Jesus Christ to those around us. And in that, we spent last week breaking down some of those areas that we've been called to actively share the love and good news of Jesus in relation to the disciples and their call in Acts 1. Our takeaways were that we're given this powerful and power and authority to actively partner with Jesus and in making disciples wherever we go, to whoever we come in contact with. And from our examples of the places that the gospel message was meant to be shared, we learned that everyone is in need of hearing this life-changing truth. You know, near or far, even those we have a hard time loving, we have a job to carry that message wherever we go. And this has been such a powerful, intentional focus because of the time that we find ourselves as a church, and specifically the location that we find ourselves in as well. For a church, this is a time of transition and strengthening the framework of where we're headed and as we're rooted and have a true rooted love for God, His church, and the world around us. And it's our call to truly love Uniontown. We have to begin to branch out past these walls we find ourselves in today and begin to see this community that God has us planted here for a specific purpose. And as we build, and as we listen, as we connect with those around us, we begin to find tangible ways that we can bring God's love here to Uniontown. And that's why we're doing this series, Loving Uniontown. You know, in true fashion of breaking down this why, this morning's message from God's word gives us the why behind our call to love this place as God does. You know, we started chipping away at the how we're called to do this and the who we're called to do this for. But I'd like to take a step back and talk about the why we love Uniontown. And I pray that this why, this picture that we're given of what is to come, is the driving force behind why we can begin to love those who are right around us. And so before we open this text together, let's go to God once again in a word of prayer. So let's pray together. Oh God, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful for this opportunity we have to open your word. Lord, I pray that we would be focused on this amazing truth that you let us get a foretaste of here. Or that we are able to see the end result of what we are expected to see one day, especially those of us who have placed our trust into you. Lord, allow this not just to be something that we just and sit around and anticipate, that we look forward to. Not only that we just look forward to it, but Lord, we help to usher this in. So may you be speaking through me this morning. May I fade away. You be front and center. May you be speaking to each one of us. May your spirit be ever so working in each one of us in the areas that we need to hear this truth. And that you would be with us as we open your word. And may you be honored and glorified through it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So together this morning, we're going to be in a book that everybody loves, and we're actually going to be in this, not only this week, but we're going to be in it next week as well. We're going to be in the book of Revelation. You think we're going to be that fast? but this morning, we're going to be in Revelation 21, and we're going to be verses 1 to 7. Now you can follow along on the screens beside me or in your pew Bibles. If you flip to the very end there, the very back of those, flip a few pages up. On page 1937, we'll be following along there, or you can flip in your own Bibles very far in the back behind, before you hit all of those extra, however your Bible's set up, all those extra pages of references and different things that might be going on. Very end of God's Word, Revelation 21, we're going to be in verses 1 to 7 again. It says this, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. For those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Amen. To help us out a bit, since we are jumping to the end of the story, this is John's revelation from Jesus about how he will make all things new. They will make a new heaven and a new earth at the end of time as we know it. This vision that is given to us by John foretells the beginning of perfection, where all sin and all evil is forever defeated, and God and his people live together in perfect union and harmony for all of time. And so you might be wondering, "Pastor Andrew, why in the world are you talking about this? Why are we here in this passage? You know, what does this have to do with loving Uniontown?" And if you are wrestling with that, you're kind of rolling through your mind as we read over this, I'm super glad that you have that thought, and I'm happy to tell you that. And it's this simple reason: is that I want you to have a clear understanding of the target that we're aiming for. I want you to have your eyes set on the big picture, to be in love with our final destination, and be on fire for what is to come. Because the reality of this passage that we've read is not just to give us hope for tomorrow. This passage that we've read is actually meant to structure the way that we live our lives now. You know, this isn't just to make us feel good about our future or where our future address will be. This is to help us, to teach us how to live as we're waiting for that future address. You might have heard me share this quote before, but I'll share it here since it hits the nail on the head of where what we're going to be talking about. And it fits well for any time you're looking at this book. It says, "God did not give us the book of Revelation so we'd build bigger bomb shelters in our backyards, but so that we'd build bigger dinner tables and invite our friends over and tell them about Jesus." I'll say this one again because it's worth writing down. It says, "God did not give the book of Revelation so we'd build bigger bomb shelters in our backyards, but so we'd build bigger dinner tables and invite our friends over and tell them about Jesus." And so here's the promise that we have moving forward that I want us to focus on in this passage, is that shalom awaits you. Shalom awaits you. Because this picture that is laid out is the definition and the concept of this idea and this word shalom. And that's the Hebrew word for peace. And shalom goes a little bit deeper than this, just a simple idea of peace that we might think of, that we might conjure up when we think of this idea of peace. Because it doesn't just mean the absence of conflict. You know, this idea of shalom is the idea that all things are in their proper order, that all things are working in the way that they were designed to work. You know, this shalom of perfect harmony with God was the standard at the very beginning of time, at the very beginning of creation in the Garden of Eden. But then this horrible moment comes where God comes down in the cool of the day, to commune with Adam and Eve, who he created. But Adam and Eve aren't excited and running up to him. They're not happy to see him. Instead, they're hiding in guilt and fear because they've been disobedient. And that peace, that shalom with God has been shattered because of their disobedience. And that's when sin, evil, and death, all the things that would bring a tear to your eye, enters into God's creation. And the only way for that shalom to ever be restored is through Christ's death and resurrection. It all comes full circle in this moment, given to John to witness, where that perfect union and relationship between God and his people is there forevermore. That shalom becomes reality. And that idea of shalom and that future promise of restoration and shalom for us is what should keep us going. Knowing that one day, one glorious day, all things will be in perfect union as it was intended to be, with God forever and ever and ever. That one day a renewal will take place that is so powerful, that is so drastic, that you will look around at everything around you and the place that you are living, and there will never be a reason for you to ever shed another tear. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain, no more evil, no more death. All of it will be gone. And we'll be in perfect shalom with our amazing, loving God. But, and a very important one at that, is that we have to recognize that we're not living in that shalom right now. And it doesn't take rocket science for us to know that that shalom isn't our reality just yet. That shalom with God isn't here yet. We know that because we see this world and its brokenness. We see it in the lives of individuals, in the brokenness between families, in the culture that we live in. Wherever you go, whatever move you make, wherever you involve yourself, you can take a look at it and say in your heart, this is not the way things were meant to be. But it won't stay that way. It might look hopeless and it might look bleak right now. You might look around and see there's not even a chance, an ounce chance in your mind of redemption in some areas. But it's on its way. And I can't tell you when, nor should we try and figure that out ourselves. But that shalom awaits us. That shalom awaits us. So we can know full well that our work is not in vain. That there is an end in sight. And very importantly, we strive towards that goal. That goal of perfect shalom with God. Being in true and authentic relationship with him. And so this passage isn't here just to simply tell you how the end all plays out. So just sit tight and wait for it and watch it unravel before your own eyes. No, this passage is meant to help us align ourselves with that promise that shalom is next. It's not just to help you have ease about the future, but to live in anticipation that this will one day become your reality. So what does this mean and look like as we understand and we follow this call to love Uniontown? It means that someday your address will be shalom, but until that day, there is still work to be done where God has planted you. You know, we can look around this place, our homes, our communities, and scoff at the brokenness and evil amongst us. We can shut ourselves off, build our bunkers, and wait until we experience that shalom. Or, because God has planted us and called us to this place, because he has empowered us with the Holy Spirit, and because he loves us enough to cover us with his saving grace, we can do all we can with the time that we have left to usher in as many people who call Uniontown their home in the surrounding area to that shalom that we know and are waiting for. To, in essence, to build bigger dinner tables and invite our friends over and tell them about Jesus. Because in giving us the end of the story, as followers of Jesus Christ, you are called to renewal. That's our second point, the second and final point together today, that you are called to renewal. So look, we're going to break this down a little bit. Look again with me at verse 5. Says John relays to us, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. The reality is that everything around us has been affected by the damages of sin. Everything, somehow, some way, has been twisted and distorted by the sting of sin, death, and separation from God. Our world, our community, our relationships, all the way down to ourselves. But as God's people, knowing that God is a God of renewal, we should seek to aid in that renewal. As a church, we should be the most involved, the most creative, and the most engaged community on earth, because we recognize the call to the renewal of it all. And we should not relent, because our God will not be satisfied until everything is brand new. So together, let's look for ways and ministries around us to help aid in bringing that renewal. Let's begin to ask some of the questions that how can we bring that renewal to Uniontown and the surrounding area, physically and spiritually. I'd ask you to be praying things like this. How can we aid in the heavenly renewal of Uniontown? How can we help aid in the heavenly renewal of Uniontown and the surrounding area? I want to jump back in the passage, up back to verse 3. See, there's another aspect of this renewal. Verse 3 says, and I heard a voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Not only is that renewal an end to all sin and total restoration, it's a picture of how personal the gospel is. Because God didn't just hand us a list of rules, a belief system, or a feel-good structure in order to be renewed. You know, he offered himself to come and to step into this broken world and brought redemption through it by his own sacrifice. And in the same way, we don't just simply offer the world a system of redemption to follow. We offer them a redeemer. The joy and the privilege that we have is that we are given the call to be Christ's ambassadors. You know, we've talked about this idea many of times. But the idea is this, that wherever you go, whoever you're around, that you're given the high task to represent the one who comes and to dwell with his people. That you get to be a signpost for Jesus and his kingdom. And that can be down to the tone of voice that you share, the look on your face, and the hand that you extend to someone else. We, as the church, have the amazing opportunity to reflect Jesus' love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace to a community who does not call him Lord. So let's use it. Let's be ready and available to be used by God and represent him and his amazing grace wherever we go. And this renewal that we're called to be a part of has to be bathed in compassion. We see that in verse 4, that at the end of this, what shalom looks like, that God, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, crying, or pain, for the old way of things have passed and the new is here. What an amazing picture of God's compassion for us. that he will not stop until there is no more pain, no more suffering, and no more tears. So what does that mean for us as we live here and we serve Uniontown? It means that we should care in the same way that God does. That I should care about every kind of suffering that I come across. That I should care about physical suffering. I should care about emotional suffering. I should care about the broken people who call Uniontown their home. I should care as I see any instance of suffering, and I should want to be involved in finding its solution. Church, again, we should be the most compassionate community here on this earth. We should be known by our mercy. We should be known by our kindness, and we should be known by our love. We should be on the front lines of any aspect of suffering, wherever it exists, because our Lord is the Lord of compassion, and he will not sit down until that suffering is completely ended. Maybe, most importantly for us, that renewal is rooted in humility. Let's close out the passage by rereading verses 6 and 7. He said, "It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." What we can never forget, is we have been given an amazing gift. A gift that we could never deserved, never could earn, and that's the gift of forgiveness and eternal life with God in perfect shalom. It's a true gift of grace. And that means we must be known by our humility, because we recognize the grace that we've been given is a gift that we never deserved ourselves. But sadly, the church as a whole isn't normally known and recognized as a place or a people for their humility. It's easy for us to think that because we have Jesus, because we're living the right way and know that shalom is our future home, we can shut ourselves off from the rest of our community, stick to our own people, and think less of those who then haven't spiritually made it. But this doesn't line up with the gospel. Instead, we should come alongside those who are broken, those who are struggling, and those who reject the truth of Jesus Christ and see them with true compassion, showing them godly love, because I know deep down in my heart that we are more alike than I want to admit, that I can't look down on them because I have no higher ground to stand on, that I too am a sinner, saved only by the grace of my Savior, that I am in need of the same rescue, and I am not where I am today in my own strength. So imagine with me the kind of shalom that we can begin to bring to this place if we really took this all to heart. Now, it's not going to be perfect, because this shalom isn't promised right here, right now. All things haven't been made that way, and this isn't the final destination. But imagine with me what our lives, what our church, and what our community would look like if we were humble, if we were filled with compassion, and we were proactive in aiding in that restoration. What amazing work that God could do of healing within families, within marriages, within individuals, within our church, that we could be signposts to the one who could offer each one of us that shalom, to be part of that never-ending perfect harmony with the Creator of the universe, where everything is as it was meant to be. We should want that for everyone who calls this place their home. That should be the goal. That should be the thing that drives us, and that we should want to partner with God in ushering in others into that shalom and actively working towards that each and every day. And I know that this is a difficult and a daunting task. I know it's uncomfortable. It can be strange, and it's not the norm for many of us to go into the places of Uniontown where we don't normally go and share the love of Jesus, even with those closest to us. And this morning, I want to level with you and share that it's hard for me as well. You know, I can say I have so many excuses. I can say I have so much going on, but this is the call that my Savior has given to me just as much as he's given that to you. And so I want to ensure that I'm practicing what I preach. I want to share with you some of the plans that I have to love Uniontown in small, tangible ways, and maybe you'd be able to put these into practice with yourself as well. Now, right now, I'm praying and looking for ways to be better connected to this community that I now have the privilege to call my home. I'm looking for hobby groups, the simple thing of just walking around the neighborhood and introducing to myself to those that I find along the way, those that I interact with. One of my favorites, and you see it here this morning, of finding a local coffee shop and other places for me to have a mobile office so that I can connect with others that work there, those that have come through in and out, build those relationships, and create new opportunities right around us for those to meet Jesus and know what it means to be loved by him. Now, finding ways that I can serve to help meet those needs of those around me, investing in the lives of others and speak the truth of Jesus Christ into their lives. My goal in this isn't just to build a bunker of church people who will look and act like me until that shalom gets here, but I truly want to share my dining room table and tell people about Jesus as I develop real relationships with them, both in this place and outside of it. And so that I'd ask you, that you'd be praying for me. You'd be praying for those that I'd be meeting as I venture out. And that you'd join with me in doing similar things. All for the glory of God. To bring that truth of God and our end goal of shalom and perfect relationship and perfect harmony with him to them. You know, it's not going to be a quick and immediate process. But it'll take time in cultivating and caring for real needs and real people. And building real relationships, all for God's glory. You know, this message, this final shot of the ending that we long for, is here as a particular call for the way that we are meant to live. So I'd ask you this morning, are you engaged, recognizing that everything around us is broken? Do you faithfully want to reflect God's character as you represent him through this community? Is it important that you do that work? Is it important to you that you do that work right here where God has specifically planted us? So as we close, are you motivated by compassion? Or can you look at suffering and say you're too busy? And you may even say you're so busy that you don't even see it. Or that suffering that happens around us, does it break your heart? Are you dissatisfied with the way that things are currently at? The way that things are currently? And instead, do you want to reach out and be the hands and feet of Jesus and aiding and being participants in that renewal that is to come? As you're working through that, would others around you consider you to be a humble person? Or do you walk around with a Christian sense of arrival, ready to critique everything? Or do you understand the beautiful privilege that you have, knowing that you can never earn this grace that you have been given? And does that propel you to share that with others and extend that grace to others? How are you living today as you're planted right here in Uniontown and the surrounding area with this mindset that shalom is coming? What are you actively doing and helping those around us experience it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in this moment. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us this picture of the end result, of this perfect shalom that we get to experience, not because we've earned it, not because we've paid the right amount, not because we've come to this place week after week, but because you stepped into this broken world and offered yourself as a way to fix it. Lord, by believing in you, we know that we can experience the shalom one day. Lord, being your followers, we get a foretaste of that shalom in our relationship with you. And we know this world is broken. We know that relationships can be hard, that the circumstances we find ourselves in can be difficult. But we know that there is hope because you are with us. You promise never to leave us. And one day we will have that perfection with you. So give us the courage and the energy to strive towards that day. Lord, not just to sit around and anticipate that day, or even further to predict when that day may come, but to recognize that day is coming. And our call is to make sure that as many of those around us know about your truth, about your love, and that shalom that can await for them. So I pray that we would be people, as your followers, as this church, who would begin to invest in relationships. That we wouldn't be building a bunker for ourselves, but we would be building that dinner table and extending a helping hand to those around us, showing them who you are in word, in action, and in deed. Not just when we're here in this place, but when we go our separate ways. Thank you for this picture of what is to come, and help us to prepare well for it and to actively participate in ushering in that shalom right where we're at. Because you have called us to this place for a reason. We love you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In your son's name we pray all of these things. Amen.